How do we prepare for camp? And what do we do during camp? And what's our process for following up and evaluating after camp? I believe it's so important to have dedicated experiences within student ministry, like camps and mission trips and retreats and so much more. So today on Student Ministry Connection, we're going to talk about some practical ways to do camp well. Welcome to Student Ministry Connection, a podcast for those who serve in student ministry, want to connect, and desire to grow. My name is Steve Cullum, and I've served in student ministry for 23 years. And as I think back to my time as a participant in high school, I loved so many aspects of youth group, but one of my favorite things was camp. I love getting away for a few days to spend dedicated time connecting with God and with others and our leaders. And so when I became a youth leader myself, I made sure that our students had some experiences just like this. And now that I'm serving with National Network of Youth Ministries, I'm able to help out with other camps as well. So far this summer, I've spoken at a middle school camp in the Colorado Mountains. I'm going to serve as a campus pastor at a CIY Move event in Missouri next week, and I'm speaking at a church-hosted day camp in August. But sometimes it can be confusing with how to manage camp. It's different than your regular weekly programming. And depending on if you're hosting your own camp or participating with others or treating it as a service week or anything else, your experiences can be so different. So for this episode, I brought on my friend Jeff Harding of the Youth Ministry Maverick podcast to talk about some practical tips around camp that we think should be important no matter what type of camp you're preparing for. We're going to talk about some preparation ahead of time, what to do during camp, and also what to do after camp as well. But before we jump into that conversation, let's pause and thank the sponsor of this episode. G-Shades is a youth ministry curriculum and teaching strategy focused on helping students see everyday life situations through the lens of the gospel. G-Shades has options to fit everyone as well, with three plans to choose from. This curriculum gives you the resources that you need to do what you do better. Do you need message outlines, a discussion guide, and a game? That's just $20 a month. If you're looking for a higher production value, including bumper videos, Instagram devotionals, and parent guides, that's $30 a month. And if you want an affordable, engaging video curriculum, G-Shades has you covered for only $40 a month. You will not find a better youth ministry video curriculum at that price point anywhere. Head over to gshades.org, that's G-S-H-A-D-E-S.org, to download season 4 of G-Shades curriculum and use the promo code CONNECTION at checkout to receive an extra $20 off your order. G-Shades, seeing life through the lens of the gospel. Thank you, G-Shades, for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. You can find the link to G-Shades in the podcast show notes. Well, thanks so much for being on the podcast, Jeff. It's great to have you here.
Thanks, Steve. It's good to be on with you.
Yeah. So I had the privilege of being on your podcast a little while back, and we've kind of partnered together with NNYM and different things like that. So I've gotten the opportunity to know you, but maybe some of our podcast audience do not know you. So I'd love to just start off with giving the opportunity to share your testimony, a little of your story, how you got to know Jesus, but also how you got into ministry and where you are today.
Yeah, appreciate that. So I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona. I was part of a big Southern Baptist church. Parents volunteered in different roles at the church. Came to faith at a very early age, but it's my most vivid memory. So fun fact, though, the first memory of my entire life happened at church, and it was being bitten by a whole bunch of red ants while watching my brother play soccer. So like the first memory I have is looking at one of the church buildings as I'm laying on the back seat with like a bunch of ointment all over my legs and stuff and driving away. So yeah, my first memory in life was church trauma. How's that for relevancy? So grew up in that church, was part of the youth ministry. Yeah, youth ministry was so formative in my life, being in what ended up toward coming up to middle school, being a divorced home and a single parent home. And my youth pastor at the time, Mark, really poured into me, and his oldest son is my age, and so they were a mile down the street from us, so I was at their house all the time, and got to see the character of him and their family, and was wondering what the next step was in my faith. And one of my other leaders said, you know, this is when you need to start investing and pouring into others what's been poured into you. And so at the age of 16, I felt called to youth ministry and immediately got involved in leadership at FCA at school, student leadership team in the youth ministry, then in the college ministry. I did 3 summer internships during college at 3 different churches and didn't want to major in ministry stuff because I didn't know how long it'd be before I went to seminary or what that would look like. So majored in poli-sci for my undergrad, took a year off and paid off all my debt, went to seminary, got a lot more debt. So I moved to Dallas to go to Dallas Seminary, worked at Fellowship Bible Church Dallas during then, came on as junior high director. My now wife was one of the junior high volunteers. So that's how we met and spent almost 10 years at a small church there in North Dallas after I graduated and we got married. And a year and a half ago, we moved here to where I am now in the St. Charles area of Missouri, just outside of St. Louis. And I am the family ministries pastor, so I oversee birth through high school, the staff that runs it, the volunteers, interacting with parents, doing classes, resources, crafting the vision for the ministry, discipleship, streamlining, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, so the day I graduated high school was day one of my first internship. So really, when I came into youth ministry as a middle schooler, I never left. And even though my role with youth ministry is different now, as I'm not the guy, the hands-on person leading it, I kind of am in a way right now because we're in a youth ministry interim time. I'm working for a new student ministry director. But yeah, my heart for the next generation still beats strong. And yeah, we have a 4-year-old son and we're probably 2 weeks out from becoming certified to foster. And that's going to be a new season for us. And yeah, on a personal note, which we'll touch on maybe a little bit today, so the day we're recording this, I dropped episode 100 on my own podcast and taking a break from that for a few months to reset with new seasons in my personal life and then in ministry life for sure. And then we'll relaunch with a new format in the fall. So yeah, that's my testimony and story and who I am in a nutshell.
That's awesome. So we are recording this at the beginning of July in 2023. So just for, you know, for future sake, people listen to this afterwards, you know, we are right in the middle of camp season for many ministries. And you just released an episode on your own podcast about summer camp. And I'd been thinking about doing something about summer camp for a while. We had been talking about getting you on the podcast at some point. And so just all the things align. And so some people have probably already been to summer camp already this year, or maybe they're right in the middle of summer camp as they're listening to this. They've tucked away and they're like, I got an extra 30 minutes. I'm going to listen to a little bit of podcast or something. Or maybe they're planning on going in just a little bit. So no matter where they are, I thought it'd be good to talk about this. And then also as we think about next year and the year following when it comes to camp as well. So
yeah.
Before we jump into how to make camp a better experience, what is your own history with camp?
Well, obviously going as a student and then as a leader and then as the guy who would take students to camp to have it done for them, places like Pine Cove in East Texas, winter retreats, summer camps, all that kind of stuff. And the funny thing was, though, in Texas, when I was there anyway, we didn't do summer camp because with Pine Cove and Camp Eagle and Sky Ranch, all that kind of stuff, there are so many other camps that cost like a mortgage payment for 1 week. And it was, and you couldn't compete with the stuff that they had anyway. And so we would just do mission trips in the summer and we would make our big camp winter camp, which is obviously shorter duration. You might have 2 full days depending on when you take it, what weekend. So yeah, I've experienced a lot of camps. If I sat down and counted how many camps, I'd probably grow more gray hairs as I was counting. But I've been to camps with several different formats, reasoning and philosophy of why it was structured the way it was structured. So that's my own experience with camp, certainly attending and then helping lead it and then being supportive while other people lead it for my students.
Yeah. Even before I was a part of a youth group, I always saw church camps when I was driving through town or whatever. And I was like, I want to be a part of that. But I was also in scouts and things like that and just loved getting away and getting out and getting away from home and just experiencing life in the outdoors and all that stuff. I know I've seen a lot of youth pastors ask over the past several years if camp is still a viable solution or strategy that we should be using. And knowing that it might change and it might evolve and may not look exactly like it does now, and it doesn't look like it did 20 years ago, but I feel like it's still an important thing that we should be leaning into as far as our strategy. Would you agree, Jeff? And if so, like, why is camp so important?
Yeah, man, camp is vital in my mind. And depending on who's, you know, listening, maybe that's too old school of me, but you know, the questions I've seen online and from others regarding camp in the last several years, as you mentioned, more had to do with asking about strategy and should other people put it on for me? Should I do it? And you know, I think going back to the reason why people would even do camp in the first place, some of the reasons that you just mentioned, getting away from home, and especially, I would say especially, in this technology-driven era, the ability to get away, be in person with the community that's not your family, your at-home family, and to have contained programming and experiences and making memories and being together, because we all know that the relational staying power of youth ministry is second to none, and that's what they carry with them memory wise. You know, even those of us involved in youth ministry now, we can probably count on one hand the amount of messages that we remember, but the amount of stories and people and faces that we remember, that is only emphasized at camp. There's a lot you can do in that environment with team building and making your community solid and really being able to use it as a catalyst for so many things. We do, church I'm at now, we do our summer camps pretty late in the summer. And if we didn't do VBS, which VBS is great, we make a big deal of it here, I would switch it out and make camp like the second week of summer, because it can be a huge catalyst for the rest of the summer and building momentum and all of that. Doing it kind of like an end cap, which is kind of how we have it structured here now, can also work because it's a good launch into the school year. But because the school year is so different than the summer, it's like a last hurrah, and then you want to keep hanging out. It's like, oh, but it's time for school, and then everyone kind of scatters. And I mean, they're still there, but we all know that summer rhythms and summer people who show up can be very different than who's there regularly in the school year. So, but yes, without question, I would say camp is valuable. I would say necessary. If it's not camp, if it's a mission trip, if it's something where you travel and get together with, if it's a senior trip, if it's just the idea of getting away and doing something where you can be rooted in community, study the word together, talk about owning your faith, going deeper, things that you need in your practical and personal life and how you can get support. There's really nothing that can replicate it. There are similar things, but just the containment and the presentation and the structure of camp is an amazing thing that I think, yes, is still needed in 2023.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I heard a stat early in my ministry that a week of VBS for kids or a week of camp for students is the equivalent of like an entire year of Sunday school or something like that. It's just all packed in 1 week, and you can get so much accomplished, not only in Bible teaching, but also in those relationships and everything else. So yeah, I agree with everything you said. And I love on episode 99, I believe you talked about camp and how you've been rethinking camp and encouraging other people to do that. And like maybe some of our audience do their own camp, or some of them, you know, go away and participate in an existing organization's camp, or partner with a lot of other churches to do their own camp together. Whatever the case is, I think it's important, like you said, to think about the order and why you do certain things when you do it as well. So be sure to go over and check out Jeff's episode 99 of his podcast for all those thoughts. But I thought we could get like practical. So let's jump into preparing for camp. What are some things to keep in mind when you prepare for camp? Maybe even like thinking way out in advance, like how early do you even sign up for a camp if you're going to do that sort of thing? So thinking preparation, what are some tips that come to mind?
I would say certainly a long runway for registration, and a registration deadline that at minimum is 3 weeks before you actually go to camp. Knowing that, you're going to have at least 10 to 15% of your group ask after the deadline, oh, wait, I didn't know. It was like, how do you not know?
Yeah.
We've blasted four or five different ways for months, and you, come on. So you're going to have some of those stragglers at every single church and ministry has that, every single one. So having that in mind, but you need to give yourself a good amount of time to prepare. There are things you can start doing, but you don't know how much to print. You don't know how much to buy. You're not sure if certain games or activities are going to work if you don't have this amount of kids or leaders or all that kind of stuff. Or especially like on some camps, like the one that our church is going to in a few weeks, the size of your group determines which meeting hall you get for your worship times and all that kind of stuff. So you really need to be able to give yourself a lot of leeway there and a lot of runway to prepare logistically. Practically speaking, for the students, to hype them up, to get them prepared, have a pre-camp rally. So our camp this year is over a long weekend to give leaders the ability to not burn all their vacation time to go to camp. So it's a Friday through Tuesday, which I think is kind of fun and cool. And this summer, we're doing Wednesday night events that rotate, and whether sometimes they're middle school, sometimes it's high school, sometimes it's everybody. So this one's for everybody. We're doing a pre-camp rally, and we're going to introduce several things that are going to be at camp and activities and the worship and the theme and stuff we're going to do and just get them super hyped up. All right, we'll see you in 2 days. And using that time practically as well after the rally to be able to do your orientation with your leaders who are going, because you want them there at the rally to get more FaceTime with the kids and everything and say, hey, here's who's going to be in your room. Here's the schedule. Here's expectations. Here's what we're doing and why we're doing it. I give them plenty of time to get hyped, for the leaders to get prepared. So when registration closes, ideally 2.5 weeks earlier, before that point, you're emailing the leaders with, here's when we're going to meet. Here's things that you need to bring and pack. You're sending that out to your parents as well. Hey, registration's closed. Here's the packing list. Here's what to expect. No, we're going to do this. Just giving your families, parents and students, and then your leaders as much heads up and preparation time for themselves, giving you, your staff and or interns, and you by yourself, maybe some parents to help you out, enough time to prepare for what you need to bring. And obviously, that gives you a lot of time to communicate with the camp that you're going to, which the camp you're going to will have different deadlines and expectations of when things need to be done, whether it's insurance waivers, whether it's numbers so they know how much food to cook, all that kind of stuff. So on the practical standpoint before camp, leeway and runway, communication for preparation for everybody. Those are the big things you need to hit.
Yeah, that's huge. And I'd say, like, for me, I definitely learned that the hard way early in my ministry. I was definitely not as prepared, but it's something I learned quickly, that the more prepared we are in advance, then the camp experience is going to be so much better. And I love that you mentioned too, preparing leaders. I think that's something I definitely missed early in my ministry. Was I just, you know, like, oh, hey, can you come to camp with us? Great. Here's when we're leaving. Here's when we're getting back. And here's the packing list. And that was it. And later in my ministry, I realized through, you know, mentors and learning experiences and things like that, it's so important to make sure you give all that information ahead of time, what they're teaching, what they're going to be, you know, if they're leading small groups, whatever that is, but also having a training time to go through all those details and making sure that they're all ready to go. Because the more prepared those leaders are, the more you can lean on them during the week. And they're not just also, you know, having students go in between them, hey, what's going on? And the leader goes, I don't really know. Like, that's not a good thing. If the leaders know, that means you can spread out that responsibility among your entire team as well. So we pull up to camp. Most of the time we're going away. And I like to go check in at the camp while the leaders are able to help make sure that the students are getting unpacked, but different camps have it different ways. That's my way of doing it. But we finally get settled into camp. What are some things that we need to do while we're at camp? And I know those can be different depending on if we're running the camp ourselves or if we're participating with an organization or with a lot of other churches. But what are some of those things we should be doing during camp to really take advantage of that experience?
The roles that you want or need to take on, as you alluded to, certainly set the tone. After all the camps I've been to, been a part of, and seen and heard from others. In my middle age years of life and ministry, I guess, I think the things that I value most are, man, treat camps like when you are brand new to the job. And several times, either my own church growing up or other churches I've known, they actually, if they have a new leader that they're bringing in to lead the youth ministry, they will treat camp as the kind of get to know you time. And I think whether you're the new person or you've been there for 20 years, treat it like you're the new person. Spend all of your time gaining relational capital. Make that your currency, make that your main interface, make that the rhythm of your day. Just being able to connect with students, connect with leaders. And if you're able to do that well, that means that you're probably outsourcing the speaking to someone else, if not entirely, which is probably ideal. Then, and you know, if you're the new person, it's your first year, you might say, well, I really need to speak for all of it so I can get good FaceTime and everyone can know how I speak and everything. And there's validity to that, and I can see that. But also, what we talked about earlier, the value of camp, of it being a contained environment that is really hard to replicate, especially the now novel idea of doing everything in person instead of via screens. Man, it's such time that you can't get any other time of the year, pretty much, with your students and leaders. And as they're going from activity to activity or sitting in worship or after small group time, during free time, any of that, just getting to sit at different tables during each meal and just connecting and reconnecting with your students and leaders is such a valuable time. And it also, it's a different work perspective than you normally have when you're having to be the doer and get everything done and lead it and make sure. And you're probably still doing that some, but if you have a good team, if you have a band and a speaker who's in to help out and do that for you, man, it's just a really good time where, yeah, you're the leader, but you also get to participate and enjoy it and just use it as a time just to reconnect with your group. I think thinking 30,000 feet, that's probably the most valuable position a youth leader can find themselves in at camp.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I was just advising another youth leader the other day. I was talking to about camp and mission trips and stuff like that. And I use the phrase like take advantage of those in between times. Yeah. Those times in between the program, man, just connect with those students wherever you can is so important. But also I've found wisdom has taught me, I'm sure it's taught you as well, to keep appropriate boundaries, which also allows you to hopefully pace yourself and rest well. It is intense for an entire week of camp. You want to make as many connections as you can. Jeff, has there been any ways that you've realized over the years ways to rest well and be able to pace yourself during camp?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And not just camp, but just ministry life overall, yeah. Which I think for guys our age and season of ministry, you know, we joked about church trauma earlier, but just the idea of burnout and good boundaries and margin and how vital that is and how amazing it is that the church is slowly but surely lifting the kind of historic stigma it's had on mental health and emotional regulation and things like that, which is great. The other thing about camp and the illustration we keep coming back to of it being a contained thing is that it can also be a pressure cooker or like a Coke bottle that someone has shaken up and there's a lot of stuff going on. And you feel like, yep. Woo, man, like, oh my gosh, it's already been 12 hours and I haven't sat down. I haven't had any water. Like there's all these different things that you have to really discipline yourself well to monitor. And just to get like, hopefully not too cliche or abstract of that's a reflection of us in ministry anyway. And the importance. So many times lately, I've come back to this for myself and for others over the last few years, probably ever since COVID, the difference and the importance between self-awareness and general awareness, huge. Because if you have good self-awareness, that usually means that you have good self-maintenance skills, the ability to discern when you should rest, when you should really be active and jumping in. And there's times to stretch yourself and like, hey, this is worth it, or hey, no one's here, needs to get done. Okay, I'll do 20 more minutes of this and then I'll go take a break. But Yeah, being able to find that time where even if you don't find yourself with the luxury of having a room by yourself or with one other adult or something instead of bunking with the kids, which is great, but you just need separation sometimes. That's the other ideal part that I'm very much looking forward to for our camp is having a room to myself. And y'all can, you know, use the volunteer leaders, the veterans to really deal with the lack of bedtime discipline and want to stay up and you just get good sleep and being able just to, you know, yeah, during free time, connect with students, but also don't feel the need to, okay, I talk with them, not to go talk with them. Like go get something from the cafe and sit there in the patio and zone out for 15 minutes, you know, and if people come up to talk, cool. If not, just, you know, don't say anything and just kind of just enjoy everything. Take a nice long walk to the lake instead of using the golf cart or the shuttle to get there and just enjoy yourself. Find some leisure in your pace or in how you spend your actual time being at one place doing something. And that something could be intentional nothing, which is good. But yeah, those are some general things I would say.
Cool. Yeah, that's so, so important for sure. And I think you alluded to this too, but I would just throw in there encouraging and empowering your leaders to share that responsibility as well. It's big not time. Just your responsibility to do that all week. So don't feel like you have to connect with every student at the same level. No, spread that out. And through that, you can all be able to pace yourself together.
Yes, indeed, for sure.
So thinking about after camp, like camp's done. I first thing that I thought of when I was thinking about after camp is make sure you do rest. Like take some time afterwards to have some rest. You just worked basically 24/7 for an entire week or an entire weekend or whatever it is. Take some rest for yourself. Reconnect with God, reconnect with your bed for a little bit. But beyond that, what are some other things that we should be thinking about after camp?
Yeah, have some good, practical, just have fun moments with your students and the church even. If you know, going up in Big Southern Baptist Church, we had the youth camp service and the Sunday after camp, we'd all be in there in our camp shirts and they'd show a recap video, have some testimony. Then we'd all go out to eat pizza or ice cream after or go to someone's house and have a pool party. You know, this year for our students, we're doing a big post-camp party at an old school skating rink that we're running out for a few hours, making it themed, bringing in and showing the camp video there, having some food and awarding the trophies of competitions that happened at camp, all that kind of stuff. So, nice. You know, having those kind of big celebrations. And spiritually speaking, for your students, there's always the desire for the, hey, take the mountaintop high and bring it back to your students. And how do you apply that for the rest of the summer, for the school year, for both? And I think the first teaching series and the way you structure content after camp, a huge help would be make it the part two of what happened at camp and have it for follow-up and have all the application not necessarily more deep spiritual discussion, but super practical application for your life. And hey, what are the rhythms we want to have in our own personal lives? What's the rhythm that we want to have with our small group? How do I think of having my faith and owning it and approaching everything in my faith and in my life, not as I have to do this, but I get to do this. And so just changing the motivation, the philosophy, and the view of why your students are doing what they're doing, why your ministry and your church is doing what you're doing to minister to students, to minister to their families, to minister to their friends, and how you're charging them to do that, the opportunities you provide them to do that, and really just using that as a big reset for yourself of, okay, new school year or rest of the summer, we just had this experience. If you're looking at it as the catalyst for something, that means you're going to build on it naturally because you're going to build steps on it. And so if you think in ways of sustainable good steps to build on the experience that you all had together, instead of just filling all that space with just good stuff that you think of, if you think it's exciting. Yeah, but if you have consistency, if you take that building block approach, then you're already going to be thinking of how can we build on that, which means how am I going to link it? How am I going to reference back to that to where they remember? And then make it a way that when new students or students that didn't go on to a camp hear about it. It's a hard line to walk, but you ideally the zone that you want to aim for is not guilting students who weren't there, but also making them wish that they were there and want to be there in the future. And the third little Venn diagram circle you want to bring into that is if someone comes in and they hear week three of your post-camp series, they're not going to be like, huh? What? I don't get it. That doesn't make sense. You want them to be able to relate to it as well. That's a hard Venn diagram to be able to hold together. But if we're talking the ideal, I would think that's the ideal.
Yeah, that's huge. And what I hear from you is really making sure that camp is a part of your overall strategy. It's not just something you do or a mission trip or you do or whatever. Yes. It is a part of your overall strategy in reaching these students.
Absolutely.
And you could be building upon it and you could be building into it as well. So thinking about both of those sides. When it comes to evaluation, what's some tips maybe as you think about post-camp, thinking about how you evaluate it, maybe with your team in order to prepare for the next time around?
Yeah, something I've done that we did back when I was in Dallas for winter camps is we would have evaluations for students and leaders. We would have different questions and different perspectives on there. And knowing that there's going to be a handful of students who can really give good insight on some spiritual topics, but that they're going to say, this game was great, this game sucked, or whatever else. And then with your leaders, being able to say, hey, did we set you up well with good content, with good questions for your small group? Did we give enough free time? Did we give you enough space to rest yourself and connect with students? Hey, should we have it over a weekend instead of during the week next time so you don't have to burn all your vacation time? You ask different questions, but there are some core things that are similar that you want to drive at. And something that teases a little bit of what I talked about on my own podcast from my last episode about camp is if you have a balance or a scale, how much did you weigh things down more with deep spiritual, expositional, faith discussion, all that kind of stuff, versus practical in my daily life, simple things I can use to attribute to this greater spiritual discipline or faith practice or walking with Jesus? Did you try and give both equally? Did you kind of lean more one way or the other for the whole thing? Did you change every message? Like, what was your approach to discipleship and faith building? Because those are the two kind of core things, and how well do you hold them together? Maybe you're thinking more, is it going through the Bible or is it topical? I feel like that's kind of old school language, but everyone kind of knows what you mean by that. Mm-hmm. I prefer the idea of practical instead of topical, because topical sometimes insinuates, well, here's this thing going on in our culture, and the Bible doesn't say how long you should have screen time or what you should do on Facebook or when you should not play video games. And that's kind of what people maybe think of when they get to topical. They might think some social issues as well, but I think if you ask people, hey, what's more important, topical stuff or going through scripture? Most people are going to say the latter, but that's why I say practical, because without the practical habits and discipline and rhythms, you can have all the biblical content you want, and it's not valuable, but it's hard to implement if you don't have the structure in place to do it. And that's why I feel like you really need to present both, probably more practical stuff to middle schoolers to help them out. You can introduce more this abstract, spiritual, biblical content, expositional stuff to high schoolers as they can developmentally handle it. But yeah, I would say those things are what you need to evaluate. Also, super practical stuff. Was this camp too expensive? Did they demand too much from us? Did they give us enough time to do this and that? Is it too far of a drive? Hey, it costs a lot of money for buses. If there's a camp closer, could we just have parents drop off at camp instead of spending thousands of dollars and worrying if buses are going to break down? How are we going to get luggage there? Think through all those practical things. Not just being at camp and the programming, but everything around it, from your preparation to, you know, how much rest and time you're able to have, how much flexibility you're able to speak into regarding your own schedule if you're not running the programming, all that myriad of things.
Mm, yeah, I think that's great. And yeah, just playing into what you're saying about as a part of your strategy that you're reaching these students. Yeah, is that the camp that you've been doing the style that you've been doing, all those different things, is that it doesn't have to just be the way you've always done it.
Yeah,
feel free to rethink it, like you talked about it on your podcast as well, and pick the thing that really does work the best for your group of students and the students that you're hoping to reach as well. So thank you so much, Jeff, for being on today and talking about all this. Again, if you want to learn more about camp and Jeff's thoughts around how to rethink your camp experience, make sure you check out at least episode 99 of his podcast and maybe more as well. So Jeff, how can people find your podcast, connect with you online, and maybe ask you some follow-up questions?
Yeah, thanks, bro. Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, today we dropped episode 100. It's our season 3 finale. Youth Ministry Maverick is the name of the podcast. Youthministrymaverick.com is the best way to find everything about our podcast. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Threads.
Nice. You're our first guest that gets to promote Threads.
What? Yeah, that's right. Super relevant. So yeah, so this is a season 3 finale. And starting in the fall, taking a few months off for a lot of reasons, but in the fall, we're moving to a monthly newsletter that's free to subscribe to, because I really want to focus on the people who are actively listening and need to know things, and I kind of can cater better to my audience who's active. And so starting in a few months, probably mid-fall or so when we relaunch, if you're not a subscriber for free, by the way, forever, then you'll get probably an episode every month or two that you can see on whatever you listen to on your platform and also on YouTube. But if you're a subscriber, you'll get at least one, if not two, maybe three exclusive episodes in that newsletter. You'll get Barna studies. You'll get insight for how to discuss those with your leaders. You'll have some headlines in the news and some questions on how to break those down with your students. You'll have some game content, all those things that you'll get, and even some fun deals on some merchandise. If you want a t-shirt, who in youth ministry doesn't need more t-shirts, right?
That's right.
Or a mug or anything like that. And just ways that I can really communicate and get more in touch with the people who are really connected to the podcast and benefiting from it. And it's free to subscribe. So you can go to youthministrymaverick.com and subscribe there, or DM me on any of those social media accounts. And yeah, I'd love to hear from you. I love getting input from listeners so I can be relevant and up to date with what people kind of want to know. And I'm always looking for guests. I prefer to have guests on the podcast, just like Steve. So yeah, that's how you can get in touch with me. And I look forward to hearing from you guys, and feel free to reach out anytime. I might not be super responsive in the next few months, but I'll be as responsive as I can as we kind of reset, but always love hearing from everybody.
Well, thank you so much for all you've done for the youth ministry world through your podcasts and just helping other youth pastors and helping others that are in ministry now. And, you know, if they want to come work for you, you're looking for a youth pastor, I think, right now. So, yeah.
Yeah. You can reach out to Slingshot. That's who we're using to hire. So, yeah, submit your application if you want to come to Missouri.
Nice. Well, thanks again, Jeff, for being on and for all your ministry. And we just pray that God blesses that ministry and continues to use you.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thanks, bro.
Thank you all so much for being here for this episode. If you enjoyed hearing from Jeff, please be sure to check out his Youth Ministry Maverick podcast and also reach out to him on social media. But also consider sharing this episode with someone else who you think would enjoy connecting with us, but also growing from this kind of content. Sharing this podcast really does help us to continue putting out great content for you and have amazing guests on like Jeff. So if you'd like to see this continue, please consider sharing it with another friend in student ministry. Also, if you really enjoy this podcast and feel led to support my ministry through National Network of Youth Ministries, you can follow the link in the show notes. As I said back in episode 105, I am so blessed to do what I do through this podcast, but also supporting youth leaders, uniting the church, and reaching teenagers for Jesus. And I could not do that without God, of course, but also without your partnership. So thank you in advance for your prayers and for your financial support. And before we go, we also want to thank G-Shades for sponsoring this episode. Be sure to check out their website, gshades.org, and use the promo code CONNECTION to save $20 off your order. And while you're there, be sure to check out their blog and their brand new book from G-Shades founder, Mike Haynes. We're going to be back in a couple weeks with another episode, but until then, be sure to stay connected, and may God bless your ministry.